Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming to learn with me virtually today. Be'ezras Hashem, next time on Wednesday when we have the Temin Halacha Shir, it will be both in person and on Zoom. But what I wanted to talk about today is the concept of Birchas Hedyot Alte Kala Be'enecha, based on today's Dav Yomi, actually. But it's really one of several places in Shas where the Gemara comments that we should take the bracha and also the klala of even a Hedyot, even a simple person, very seriously. So I want to discuss the issue from a couple of perspectives. First of all, why does it matter if a hedyot gives a bracha or a klala? Why would that make a difference? How would the statements of a hedyot make an ounce of difference in a person's life? And second of all, what are the practical ramifications of this? Does this mean I should go around to every hedyot and ask them for a bracha? There are people that do this, that everybody they meet on the street, they ask them for a bracha. Is that something that one is supposed to be doing? Should I be giving brachos to everybody I meet? Is that something we're supposed to be doing? So let's start with the sources in Shas. The Gemara Brachos of Zion is the first source in Shas that discusses this concept, and it tells the story of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who reported that when he went to be Maktir Ktores, Lefnai V'Lefnim, on Yom HaKippurim, and he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu requested a bracha from Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, and the bracha that he gave was Yehi Ratzon Mufanecha, Sheyish B'chu Rachma Eskaska, I'm not going to sing it, V'yogol Rachamecha Al Midosecha, V'tisnai Gimbanecha B'midas HaRachimim, V'tikones Lam Lefnim Yishur HaSadin. So he gave a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should treat Klal Yisrael with the Midas HaRachmanus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu nods, and the implication of the Gemara is that Rabbi Baruch Hu nodded approvingly at Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha's bracha. So the Gemara concludes, "Ooh, kamash malan." You see from there, shalotei birchas hedyot kala beinecha, that even the bracha of a simple person should not be something that is taken lightly. There is some discussion in the Achronim where the Kamash Malan is from, meaning you see from where that the bracha of Hedyot should not be taken lightly. Is it from the fact that Hashem asked for the bracha, or is it from the fact that Rabbi Shmuel told the story without any concern that it would seem that he's being arrogant by reporting that he had this conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam? So the Sefer Kedusha Ubracha in Smichas Chachamim Dibra Maskul B'Gemara suggests that it is the latter. And it's not arrogant, because Rabbi Shmuel is trying to teach us this important lesson and about the value of Birchas Hedyot. So that's the Kamash Malan. The only reason Rabbi Shmuel could have for telling this story is if there's a lesson involved. Otherwise, it's just Stam Gaiva. So it must be that there's a lesson for us that Birchas Hedyot Al Tei Kala Be'enecha. The second source in Shas is today's Daf, Megillah Daf Tezvav, where it says that we learn from Arvana blessing David and from Daryavesh blessing Daniel that Al Tei Birchas Hedyot Kala Be'enecha. The same Gemara says that Akilah Hedyot should also not be Kala Be'enecha, because Avimelech cursed Sarah that Hinei Hulucha Ksusei Naim, and her child Yitzchak ultimately was blind. So the Klala of Avimelech was Mekuyam Bizarah. It was Mekuyam in Yitzchak Avinu. Then there are a couple of other Gemaras that are not an exact parallel, but also indicate that there's some value or some power to words. The Gemara Makos Tafid Aleph tells us that the mothers of the Kohanim Gedolim would provide for Michya Uksus for the Rotschim in order that they could that they shouldn't daven when they're in the Ir Miklat, that the Kohen Gadol should die. So the Gemara goes on to say that Kilas Chacham Afilu Bechinam Hi Ba'a, that even a Klala of a Chacham, Davka of a Chacham, happens even if it's Bechinam, even if it's for no reason. Where Achitofel, we learned that from Achitofel, where David had said that whoever doesn't share the information about whether they can write the Shem Hashem on the Chaspa and use it to prevent the waters of the depths from flooding the world, when David was digging the Shisa. So David said, if you don't share this information and you have this information, yechonik begrono, you should choke. And even though Achitofel did share the psak, and he said his kal v'chomer and why he thinks you're allowed to erase the Shem Hashem in order to save the world from flooding, but ultimately vayitzav al beso ve'achnak, he ultimately choked. So similarly, we also have when Eli told the young Shmuel Anavi that he has to share his vision, and if he withholds what his nevuah was, Ko yasa l'cho elukim v'cho yosifim techan meni davar, that whatever you your nevuah was that's going to be bad about me should happen to you. So Shmuel did share it, and nevertheless lo halchu banav bidrachav. Shmuel suffered a similar fate with his children not following after him. So in both of those cases, it's not a kilas hedyot that's al tei kala beinecha, but it's a kilas chacham, that even though it's only al tenai, it's only on condition, and the tenai wasn't even fulfilled, that still it had an impact. Also not directly is related is the Gemara Brachos Daf Zayin that says that Bilam's trick in knowing how to curse was in knowing the exact moment of Hashem's Za'am. And Tosa says that at that moment he would say something like Kaleim. He would say something very quick that would mean wipe out Klal Yisrael, and it would have some impact. Interestingly, the Gemara in Brachos only highlights Kilulas Chacham and Birchas Hedyot. It never highlights Kilulas Hedyot. From the Gemara in Brachos, you get the impression, Rav Shachter pointed out, that Kilulas Hedyot is not a concern. However, in today's daf, the Gemara in Megillah did make it sound like Kilulas Hedyot is in fact a concern. So the question begs itself, what do our brachos and our klalos accomplish? Do they actually do anything? Do they actually have an impact? So there seem to be two mahalchim. There are those that say they accomplish, actually three mahalchim. There are those that say they accomplish a whole lot. There are those that say they don't accomplish nearly as much as you think. And then there are those that say it depends. So let's start with those that say that, you know, when a person gives a bracha or a klala, it accomplishes a whole lot. There is a Tshuvas HaRashba, Miuchasos L'Ramban, Simen Reish Pei Vav, where he discusses this issue of what words do, what sort of impact words could possibly have. So he says, She'elas pilosofim, she'tolin ha'kol b'teva chok, ach lefi anirim in ha'kosov, haskomas chachmei ha'Torah. Whatever you think of the philosophers say, I'll tell you what the Torah has to say. It's against what the philosophers say. Yesh, he says, b'kol, you know, davar, every word that a person says is a bris krusel, a sosayim, and we have such an expression that when someone says something and once the words are out there, it has an impact, and many, many such expressions. And he says, v'zuhi ha-meniyah b'klalav ha-hepech b'bracha. This is why we try to refrain from klala and why we look for bracha. And you're going to say, but mat hazik haklala, what damage does it do? Mat toi la bracha, yikaluhem av Hashem yivarech. You can give all the curses you want, but Hashem is going to give a bracha, and it won't make any difference. But yet, Chazal say that you take it seriously, and al yiftach adam piv l'satan, you don't say negative things that will give the satan ideas. And they bring a raya from Kistom Hayinu, and he says we can't explain it. We can't explain it scientifically, but there are lots of things we can't explain scientifically. Words make an impact when they're brought out into the world. So if words of bracha are brought out into the world, it has an impact. If words of klala are brought out into the world, it has an impact. So says the Rashba. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Reish Lamed Aleph also says, Shekillas b'nei adam gam killas hedyot taser roshem b'mekulal. It makes an impact on the one who is cursed. V'tadbik bo ha-me'ir v'atzar. And it causes the curse and tsar to attach itself to that person. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, unbelievable. Why is it that there's an issur to curse somebody else? Same reason there's an issur to punch somebody else in the face. When you punch somebody else in the face, you are damaging them. When you curse somebody else, you are in a very real way damaging the other person. So that is one view. The view of the Rashba, the view of the Sefer HaChinuch, that it really does have an impact, it really does make a difference. On the other hand, there are those that suggest that it doesn't really accomplish nearly as much as you think. The Arachayim HaKadosh in Parshas Balak asks that I understand why Bilam's curses are fulfilled, because the Gemara says he had that trick. He knew the exact moment of Hashem's anger. But why would his brachos be fulfilled? Matavu Alech Yaakov or whatever. What koach ha-bracha does Bilam have? And he says that really Bilam's bracha that he had for anybody was in knowing how to look bitstagninus and know when good things were going to happen to the person anyway, and then he would just, you know, when something good is about to happen, he would say, I predict something good is going to happen. I give a bracha, something good is going to happen. And people would get the mistaken impression that it was Bilam's bracha that caused it, but really, he was just piggybacking on what was going to happen anyway. Essentially, says Yerach Haim HaKadosh, his bracha didn't really mean anything. And when it comes to curses of a hedyot, the Yerach Haim HaKadosh explains, if a person deserves to be punished, but Hashem is being marichaf, Hashem is being patient with the person, that's where the kilulas hedyot makes a difference. That kishi kalul adam es chaveru tisovev haklala shavonosav asher Hashem marich lo apo aleihem, that the klala will cause that which Hashem is being patient about and not punishing the person yet for, yimar li parim yimenu. It will bring it right to the forefront, it will put it on the docket that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with right now. But if you didn't do anything wrong, then the klal has no impact whatsoever. So the Archaim HaKadosh is very firmly in the other camp, that the kilas hediot, the birchas hediot, if there was nothing that was going to happen anyway, it's not really going to make such an impact. Rav Moshe in Arachaim Chel Gimel Seminayin Ches, in the Gros Moshe, quotes a sefer Nesivos Shalom. I don't think it's our Nesivos Shalom. He quotes a sefer Nesivos Shalom that says that when somebody gives another person Rashus to curse him, and he does so, there is no Malkus. And Rav Moshe questions, I don't understand. If you curse yourself, it's a violation of Alos HaSei. So how could it be that if you give someone else Rashus to curse you, that there's not going to be any Malkus, that it's not going to be a violation of that same love? So Rav Moshe suggests that there are two separate Yisurim. Somebody who curses himself is in violation of Yishram L'cha Shmar Nafshecha, because there's a concern that when you self-curse, that it's actually going to happen. But if somebody is Mekalel another person, there's no chshash that it will actually happen. Divadei lo yechushu b'shamayim l'chilloso. If you give a klala to somebody else, they're not paying attention to that up in Shamayim. Shari osa iser b'zeh. You're just violating an iser by being Mekalel other people. Ubarur shelo yavo mizeh shumra al chaveiro. Nothing bad is going to happen to the other guy. El sheis the whole issue of being mekalel somebody else is that it's embarrassing to the other person, but not that you're actually damaging them in any way. So Rav Moshe also, like the Arachayim HaKadosh side of things, your words aren't really going to make a difference. I once asked Rav Asher Weiss a Shaila about a guy who was told by his therapist to daven that bad things should happen to other people as a form of exposure therapy, because he believed that all of his tefillos made a massive impact on other people's lives. So the therapist suggested daven that bad things will happen to other people, and you'll see that bad things don't always happen, and yet you're not that powerful. So it's a terrible mahalik in therapy, but the question is, does that do anything? So Rav Asher Weiss said, I'm not choshish for a second that it will accomplish anything, meaning that he's not choshish that the therapy will accomplish anything either, but what he meant is, I'm not choshish that if you daven for something bad to happen to somebody else, that something bad will actually happen to somebody else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, less din v'less dayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that those who deserve to get punished, those who don't deserve to get punished, will not get punished. And then you have somewhere in the middle, the Netziv in Merome Sadin, Megillah Daf Tezvav, in today's Daf, suggests that the concept of Birchas Hedyot being something not to take lightly, but by implication, also not to take so seriously that you seek it out, and that's where the Netziv sort of threads the needle a little bit. He says, Birchas Hedyot al tekalabei necha, don't take it so lightly, but don't take it so seriously either. Meaning it doesn't say, take a Birchas Hedyot seriously, it just says, don't take it so lightly. He says, yeah, that's when a non-Jew gives the bracha. But in the case, like both examples, Daryavesh, Arvana, but if a Jew gives the bracha, then it's never just a Birchas Hedyot. That's always very powerful. Whenever it's a Jew giving a bracha or a klal, that's going to be very impactful. The Achronim ask on the Netziv, but wait a second, the first place in Shas that it came up was Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who was a Jew. So what do you mean when it doesn't apply to a Jewish person? So you could argue, yeah, but he was blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there's no greater Hedyot, Klape, who he's blessing than a human being, Klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's probably what the Netziv would answer. So are there any practical implications of this? So first of all, seeking bracha from others and giving brachos to other people, is that something that one should do? So Rav Moshe Feinstein famously was asked in Igros Moshe, I forgot where the makor is, I gotta look it up, why it is that he feels that he's worthy of giving brachos. What's the point of giving a bracha? You think you're so great? So Rav Moshe said, I don't think I'm so great, but if I tell people that you think I'm a tzaddik and that's why you're asking me for a bracha, but you're mistaken, then people just, I'm not really a tzaddik, then people just say, oh, and you're an anav too. And he says, so it doesn't accomplish anything if I deny it and I tell them that I'm not a tzaddik. So what am I going to do? I'm going to tell them I'm not a tzaddik and they just call me an anav. So I figure a birchas hedyot means something, so I might as well give a birchas hedyot. That'll be, and I'm allowed to give such a bracha. The Rugachever, famously, in the Sefer Ishim Vashitos on page Pei Vav, it says that the Rugachever was pressed to give a bracha to somebody, a woman, the Rugachever was very simple, he didn't hold himself as a Rebbe or a Tzaddik, so no one, he didn't give brachas to people, and a woman came and asked for a bracha, and he said no, and the Rav that he was sitting with said, I don't understand, even a Birchas Hedyot, a bracha of an idiot, is something that's valuable. So Kal V'chomer, your bracha is going to be valuable. trouble. So the Ragged Shaver said, I have an idea. Ad sha'ata omer li levarich al yedei kal v'chomer. Instead of you telling me to say a bracha and utilize a kal v'chomer, tevarich ata below kal v'chomer. You can give a birchas hadyot and it won't even be a kal v'chomer. It will just be a plain birchas hadyot without any kal v'chomer. And that was the Ragged Shaver's very sharp way of expressing himself. The Pnei Yeshua in Brachos Dav Chav Zayin on Tosas Dibra Maskel V'Anosein writes that the concept of birchas hadyot al tekal be'necha is that if a hadyot blesses you, you should take it seriously, but not that you should look to give brachos. Meaning, I know that I'm a hadyot, I shouldn't be running around looking to give brachos. But if a hadyot gives me a bracha, I should take it seriously, answer amen, and take it as a serious thing. In fact, this concept of birchas hadyot al tekal be'necha may be the basis of the idea of making a kiddush when a baby girl is born. The Rav Sternbach writes in a tshuva, in Tshuvas V'Hanhagos, Chelek Beis, in Kuf Lamed Beis, he tries to discuss why it is that we make a kiddush. So first he says that, we do a sudas pidyon aben to make a pirsum that there was a mitzvah of pidyon. So over here also, you want to make a pirsum that you give the name to the baby girl, because the name means a lot. It makes a big impact on a person. Or he says, it's to give hoda'a to Chasdei Hashem Yisbarach, that you were zoche to a daughter, and the wife had a refuah from the childbirth, and it's b'makom sudas hoda'a. But then in parentheses he says, or in brackets he says, v'shamati b'shem Aran Hagon Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky Zatzal. He said, I heard from the stipler, Shamar Shal Yideya Kiddush Boim Anoshim Umuvarchim Aviyabas. When you make a Kiddush, people are going to come and give a bracha. Sheyiskel Lirus Mimenanachas. They should be zochet to see a lot of nachas. Ubrachos Elus Omdosla. And those brachos are going to work. Ukvar Omruzal Alti Birchhediot Kalabeinecha. Vakolshkenet Sibur Shem Shtatvim Bissimchum Varchim Tok Simchas Levav. If even a Birchhediot should not be Kalabeinecha, certainly many Birchhediot of all the people that come and participate in the Kiddush, that's valuable, and that's something that should also not be kala be'enecha. And one final note, Rav Shlomo Zalman in Halicha Shlomo and Tefillah, Perek Yilches Halacha Yud, footnote 40, asks that there's a Gemara Babas Kufta Zayin that says that someone who has a chola betoch beso, yelich etzel chacham v'yavakish levrachimim, should go to a chacham, that the chacham should daven for the person. But if even a birchas hedyot works, why do you need to go to a chacham to be mevakish rachamim? Just go to any idiot and ask rachamim, and that person will daven, will give a bracha. So Shlomo Zalman says that a bracha is different than a tefillah. A bracha is when the misparech is right there, when the misparech is present at that time, and that's a bracha. A tefillah is when the person is not there. So there's a maila of a tefillah of a chacham over that of a hedyot. Whereas when it comes to a bracha, enochinami, the bracha of a hedyot may suffice, may be good enough. I just see that someone put in the chat that Rabbi Miller said you should try to bless from Jews all the time. So I would imagine also that's based on birchas hedyot al tekal be'necha, but unlike the Pnei Yeshua, right? The Pnei Yeshua said not to try to bless everybody all the time. I do see that the Morenu Rav Shechter Shlita is always giving brachas, certainly in recent years. Everyone should be healthy and everyone should be well, and he's always ending every conversation with a bracha. It could be because he holds that we should all be giving brachas to each other, or it could be that he realizes that he's not a hedyot. But I didn't ask him which mahalich he's taking, but I did notice that he's giving lots and lots and lots of brachas. So all of those brachas should be mekuyam for him, for us, for all of Klal Yisrael. Everyone have a great day. Sorry for going so long.